Ye holy innocents, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Please be seated. Today, we come to the third day after Christmas and the third feast day after Christmas, and that third feast day is strung together with the other two before it, that of Saint Stephen and Saint John. And it's a very profound lumping together of those three feasts, because they really are intimately tied. Saint Bernard explains this when he says that in Saint Stephen we have both the act and the desire of martyrdom. In Saint John we have but only the desire, and in the Holy Innocents we have but the act. But the Holy Innocents truly are martyrs for Christ. That they gain that palm of martyrdom because they died for no other reason than for our Lord. They died, in fact, in his place because of the wicked actions of one man, that is, of Herod. Herod knew that the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. He even knew that the Messiah was prophesied to come to Bethlehem. And when the three wise men came through and talked to him about following the star, he knew that the time of the Messiah was probably at hand. And so he sent the kings along the way, telling them that to come back and see him when they found the Christ child, and that they should tell him where he is so he could come and adore the Messiah as well. Except this was not his intention, and it was made known from heaven to the wise men to go home a different route and not return to Herod. And so when they didn't come back, Herod knew he had been betrayed by those kings, and he was furious because he was terrified of the Messiah. He, like so many Jews at the time, thought that the Christ was coming to set up an earthly kingdom, and therefore, as he was the holder of the throne of King of the Jews, he did not want someone taking his place in the kingdom. And so he was so filled with the desire of power, and that he was stopped by no means whatsoever to maintain that power. So he sent out a whole army of soldiers to Bethlehem and told them to put to death any child under the age of 2 years old. That way he figured he could, you know, he would kill all these children, and one of them had to be the Messiah that had been born in Bethlehem. And so they went out and they killed thousands upon thousands of children in the city of Bethlehem. Yet, as we know by the scriptures, the Holy Family was no longer there. An angel had appeared in the night in a dream to Saint Joseph and told him to immediately rise and get up and take the Holy Family down to Egypt. And he did so because he was such a holy man that he was always in tune to the will of God, and at that very inspiration he immediately rose from bed, took his wife and child in the middle of the night, packed up their things, and they set off across the wilderness into the foreign land of Egypt, trusting that no matter what, even though it was a long journey and it was going to be very trying and hard for them, especially with a new baby, that no matter what, God's providence was involved, and God's providence would provide for them. And so off they went. They went down to Egypt, and they stayed there until Herod died. Herod, for his wickedness in slaughtering so many innocent infant children, died a horrific death. This was the punishment and the scourge of God that fell upon him. He was struck by a terrible and awful pain in his stomach, and it was written that it felt like his entrails were inflamed with this awful burning pain that consumed him, and he died as if he was rotting from the inside. And it was a sure sign of the condemnation of Herod for the evil and wicked ways of his life. Yet we see the stark contrast to that in the Holy Family, because Herod, while certainly playing a part in the ultimate plan of God, was not doing God's will by slaughtering innocent children, and so died a miserable death. We see with the Holy Family their reward for following divine providence and the inspiration of God. They go to Egypt, they make that journey, and they do it safely, and all their needs are met, and they return to Nazareth upon Herod's death, so that the life of the Christ child can be begun, and he can go forth and eventually fulfill all of the prophecies that were necessary of the Messiah and set up the Catholic Church as we know it after his death. We also see, interestingly enough, with this Feast of the Holy Innocents, the purple vestments, which is a little bit of a curious thing, and we see no Gloria or Alleluia verses. And it's puzzling as to why, until you pull it apart a bit, that in the vestments it is seen that with the red, which is normally worn for martyrs, that would show, yes, the blood that was shed by these innocent children, but would leave no room of honor to the sorrow that was given by so many mothers on that night. The sorrow of the mothers for the loss of their children. And then the white vestments, of course, would be much too joyful for a sad event of the killing of innocent children. So purple is worn. Purple representing the very weeping, as it is said, of the daughters of Rachel. Rachel was, when she died during the birth of her son Benjamin, she was buried just outside of the city of Bethlehem. And because her tomb was there and was venerated by the people, she was looked at as a mother of the city of Bethlehem, even though was not from her line that the tribe of Judah took over that city. And so it was because she was so nearby, she was viewed as the mother of that city, and so the women of Bethlehem were her daughters. This is what St. Jerome tells us. And therefore, the weeping of those mothers is represented in that weeping in Rachel. And so with that, our thought for this feast day should come to the very idea of that need of immediate following of the will of God, no matter what it entails. We don't know how many days we have in our lives. Obviously, none of the people of Bethlehem thought that their young children would only last a few days or months, but they were killed, but they are celebrated as saints in heaven because their death was in honor of the Messiah. For us, we don't know the length of our lives, but by following God's will in our lives and doing all that he asks of us, our reward will always be the same. Our reward will always be a special place there before the throne of God in eternity to worship him as so many of us come now to worship him in the crib for Christmas and in the most holy sacrifice of the Mass. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.